With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. High school football last night for four classes, final night of the regular season for the other three. Still going with one more week before the playoffs. Huron Tigers took their 6-1 record down Highway 37 to Joe Quintal Field in Mitchell to play the Colonels. Huron came out with a 27-3 win over Mitchell. Mistakes were the difference. Mitchell made a lot. Huron just made a couple. For Huron, Landon Hulse, 15 carries, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 and 43 yards. Anderson Porish was 10 of 17 passing for 139 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown, 23 yards to Blake Elwine. Tiger special teams had a score when Hulse blocked a Mitchell punt. And Oakley Anderson, a 3-yard scoop and score. That was with 9 seconds left in the first half. Huron now 7-1. They will close out the regular season on the road next Thursday over to Brookings. Game we had here on KOKK last night. Hitchcock Tulare pulled away in the second half and defeated Arlington 46-14. Bumps the Patriots up a couple of spots in the 9B playoff picture. Sully Buttes rolled over Sunshine Bible 66-12. Hitchcock Tulare goes to Sully next week. Coleman Egan pounded Iroquois Lake Preston 60-14. DeSmet shut out Esteline Hendricks 38-0 for the Bulldogs. Slayton Wilkinson, 5 touchdowns, 4 rushing and 1 receiving. He had 135 yards on the ground. Kimball White Lake took care of Woolsey Wessington 55-8. Wagner shut out Miller Highmore Herald 52-0. Mount Vernon Plankinton surprised Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. The Bucks came in undefeated and ranked number 3 in 11B. But Mount Vernon Plankton wins 30-6. MVP forced 5 turnovers, including 3 in the first half. As I said, Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central has their first loss of the season. The Bucks scored on a 35-yard touchdown pass from Luke Larson to McCoy Schultz. That drops the Bucks a few spots, but will host a first-round playoff game this coming Thursday. Clark Willow Lake shut out Webster 50-0. In 11AA last night, Watertown defeated Sturgis 29-15. Brookings, who will host Huron next Thursday, rolled over Douglas 59-8. Yankton took care of T Area 31-7. Pier was down 21-0 at one point out in Spearfish, but then came roaring back and the Governors defeat Spearfish 45-28. O'Gorman in AAA defeated Stevens 41-7. Jefferson shut out Rapid City Central 52-0. Brandon Valley shut out Harrisburg 24-0. And Lincoln defeated Aberdeen 58-14. That's a look at high school football. Last night, we'll run down the playoff picture here in a moment. Schedule for today, the 14th annual state soccer championships are being held at Sioux Park Stadium in Rapid City today. Matches start at 12 noon. It will begin with Class A boys. That'll be James Valley Christian playing a Freeman Academy for the title. That'll be followed by the Class A girls championship, Sioux Falls Christian and Dakota Valley. Double A boys will be at 5 o'clock Central Time. I believe that's actually 6 o'clock Central Time. Sioux Falls Jefferson, Sioux Falls Lincoln, and the championship for Double A girls to cap off the day, O'Gorman and Harrisburg. And again, all those soccer championships will take place in Rapid City. Also on tap for today, volleyball, Dakota Valley Conference Tournament in Arlington. Today, DeSmet, Iroquois Lake Preston playing there. Also, Miller hosting their own invitational. As I said, four classes with playoffs are set now. Area teams that will play next Thursday. Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central fell from a tie for third to the sixth spot after their loss last night. They're still at home in Wessington Springs, though. At number 6, they will host number 11. And defending champion winner for a first-round matchup next Thursday. We'll plan to have that game on the air on KOKK. In Class 9B, Hitchcock Tulare, a 12 seed, they'll be at number 5, Sully Buttes. Iroquois Lake Preston, a 10 seed, will be at number 7 seed, Sioux Falls Lutheran. And in 9AA, DeSmit with a 14 seed will be at number 3 seed, Parkston. Here's the complete lineup in 11B, number 16, Flander, with top seed, Elk Point Jefferson. Number 9, Parker, at number 8, Sioux Valley. Number 13, McCook Central Montrose, at 4 seed, Duel. Number 12 seed Chamberlain at number 5 Wagner. Number 15 Hot Springs at number 2 seed St. Thomas Moore West River matchup. Number 10 Mobridge at number 7 Mount Vernon Plankinton. Number 14 Groton at number 3 Clark Willow Lake. Again, winner of the 11 seed at number 6 Woonsocket Wessington Springs Sanborn Central. Class 9B Irene Wakanda, the 16 seed, is at top seed Del Rapids St. Mary. Number 9 Corsica Stickney's at number 8 Kadoka. Number 13, Burke at number 4 seed, Falkton. Number 12, Hitchcock Tulare at number 5, defending champion Sully Buttes. Number 15, Old Amramona Rutlands at 2 seed, Avon. Number 10 seed, Iroquois Lake Preston at number 7, Sioux Falls Lutheran. Number 14, Arlington's at number 3 seed, Coleman Egan. Number 11, Canastota is at number 6 seed, Harriet Selby. In Class 9A, number 16, Timberlake at top seed, Wall. Number 9, Dupree at number 8, Castlewood. Number 13, Esteline Hendricks at number 4, Phillip. Number 12, Harding County at number 5, Ipswich. Number 15, Lemon McIntosh at 2 seed, Warner. Number 10, seed Centerville at number 7, Howard. Number 14, Dewbrook at number 3, Alcester Hudson. Number 11, Lyman is at number 6 seed, Platt Geddes. In 9AA, Garrett's in the 16 seeds at top seed, Freeman, Marion, Freeman Academy. 9 seed Kimball White Lake at number 8, Britton Hecla. 13 seed Great Plains Lutheran at number 4, Hamlin. Number 12, Scotland Minnow at number 5, Hill City. Number 15 seed Bennett County at number 2 seed, Elkton Lake Benton. Number 10, Hanson at number 7, Viberg Hurley. Number 14, DeSmit at number 3, Parkston. Number 11 seed Gregory is number 6 seed, Bonham. And those are the first round matchups for next Thursday in 11B in all three nine-man classes. The NBA is set to start their regular season next week. Minnesota Timberwolves have come out of the preseason in pretty good shape. Head coach Chris Finch says he felt the preseason games have went well.
We're in a pretty good place. We've got to have a great 3 days, I think, of sharpening the edges coming into next week in preparation for the opening game in Portland. You know, we still got work to do. We still got some things to kind of click into place. But, you know, I think now that we have like an opponent in our sight and kind of be a little bit more fine-tuned on a game plan, I'm hopeful that guys will really kind of sink their teeth into it.
Timberwolves will open next Wednesday night at Portland. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we will talk with Jory Wiff, head the boys soccer coach, James Valley Christian, as they get set to play for a state championship today. We'll hear from Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball, with a good week, 2-0 against a pair of Sioux Falls teams. And also talk with Drew Strandhead here on Tiger Football Coach after the win last night with Mitchell. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
First up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talked with Joy Whiff, head boys soccer coach at James Valley Christian School for a second consecutive year. The Vikings are playing for the Class A championship in boys soccer. Last year were nipped by Vermilion in the championship. This year, a long journey out west to Rapid City. And they'll play a familiar foe, though, in Freeman Academy, and we'll get to that coming up. First off, Jory, go to that semifinal last Saturday. Belfouche comes over, and you knew you were favored going in as the top seed. I think Belfouche came in with a losing record, so kids just needed to take care of business, and at 7-0, I think the kids did take care of business.
Yeah, played extremely well. Wind was a bit of an issue. We had it to start with and scored three and then actually scored four in the second half going against the wind. And, you know, you may dream about winning a semifinal game, something like 7-0, but it actually happened. And we just played really, really well, stayed aggressive all game long offensively, and were very good defensively, of course, again. So yeah, super pleased with the energy and the effort and just the sense that we were on a mission to get back to that final.
You don't really mention on a mission, you know, after last year, the near miss in the championship, losing on a late goal to Vermilion. Everybody's back this year. I don't think it was too hard to get the kids motivated and also to know there's expectations. We need to meet those, and, well, you have.
Yeah, and it's been great to watch that happen. Last year was fun to be the up and coming team and maybe the underdog certainly in the final, but play really well. Certainly good experience. Hopefully that provides some comfort level going in this time, knowing what that weekend looks like. But the kids had to manage a different feel to the season, I guess, with being ranked number one and having those expectations and the target on your back kind of as each team came into play. And I thought they did a really good job managing that and still being able to stay focused on getting better, because somebody else is too, and there's some good teams out there. So a little different feel, maybe for a little portion of the middle of the season. We weren't playing super inspired. But it's difficult to maybe manage all of that. So I think what they've done this year is just as impressive, maybe more so than last year.
You know, one thing that's impressed me the most, I think, is how many kids are involved. You don't just have one guy piling up a lot of goals or two people doing it. The ball gets spread around. I know you did have a hat trick last Saturday, but so many guys get involved, and, that just makes you for a well-rounded team and really hard to scout as well.
Yeah, that's been really nice offensively to have the involvement, the weapons that we do there. Three different kids with double figures in goals, with Isaac Fast and Noah Fast and then Gavin Waldner, and 33 assists out of our 57 goals, I think, is a really good number too. So lots of people contributing.
Then you go back to the end there, too. I know we talked about this before our last week as well, and Jonah Niederbaumer in goal had another shutout last week. But, again, the defense in front of him, everybody contributes to that.
Yeah, I think I had said it earlier, maybe that group in front of him has played really well of late. Last year it was it took us a while last year to find our way defensively. We played really well at the end of the year. And so this year they set a goal for – how many goals they wanted to allow as a team, one of the ways they've helped to hold each other accountable and try to play well each and every time out. And was not sure we were going to be able to stay under that number. And obviously there's still a game to go, but the run of shutouts here has meant that we are still under that number. That goal now is, not as meaningful. You just got to have one more than the other guys on Saturday now, but been really encouraging that they've played that well and taken that part of the game so seriously and improved so much on that end of the field with Isaac and Monty and Colby and Luke as the back four, and then some midfielders, of course, helping out as well. And Isaac and Noah, for example, are really good at coming back and helping out. They get up and down quite a bit and expending a lot of energy. So, yeah, along with having 12 guys score, we've had a lot of people integrate defensively and make meaningful plays throughout the season.
You know, talk with Jory Wiff, head coach, boys soccer at James Valley Christian School, as the Vikings are in the state championship in Class A for a second straight year. They're out in Rapid City where they play Freeman Academy. And I know before we started here, I said it's kind of poetic justice. You and Freeman Academy are playing. You're probably the two programs in the state that have played each other longer than anybody else. I think it goes back to around 1980 or so. You're the only two true Class B teams playing in Class A. And like I said, just kind of cool that you two schools find yourself playing for a title.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun to have this matchup in the final. For sure, we played in 1979. I've got it as probably the 82nd time on Saturday that the two teams have played over that stretch. I know they've got some co-op going on down there and some kids coming in from surrounding communities, but still James Valley and Freeman Academy and a couple of coaches that have been around a long time. And so all of that makes for, a really cool matchup, like you said.
And as part of the matchup, intrigue, you did play twice this year. You were split, I believe, both teams won at home. So that, like I said, that just adds to the intrigue. It's even, and probably if there's a program you know as well as you know your own, it's probably Freeman Academy.
Yeah, each team won a one-goal game at home. So we're even in wins and losses and even in points. And not a lot of secrets here. They're good in the midfield. They've got solid defenders. Physically, it seems like an even matchup. They've scored 55 goals and allowed 22, and we've scored 57 and allowed 12, and so it all sets up to be really even. They've got one of the most dynamic offensive players in the state. He's got 21 of their 55 goals. But a lot of good players around him, too.
And just makes for the intrigue, like I said. What are some of the keys you feel for James Valley?
I think this is going to be even, so hopefully we can gain an advantage in the midfield. You don't want to be on your heels defensively all the time with their dangerous attackers. Last year we found ourselves defending and just having to counterattack, and we were really good at that and efficient that way. But we're hoping this is a much more even game in terms of possession, and we can put some pressure on them. I'm not sure if turf benefits one team more than the other. I just see this as a really even matchup. I hope our experience last year means a little bit. And you still want to take it all in and enjoy it, of course, but the kids seem a little more business-like maybe.
And that's just where we'll wrap it up with that, and we kind of talked about it at the beginning as well. Last year, I wouldn't say you came in under the radar, but you just made your move in the second half of the season, made it to the championship, had your chance, and with everybody back, I know the kids just got to be on a mission. I assume it feels a little different this year than it did at this time last year.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, like I said, there was a moment in the season where it was a little bit tough, maybe dealing with expectations and stuff, and then we lost that game to Freeman. And the next practice, we just came out and I put him right into a drill without saying anything, and it was the best practice we'd had all year. And just seemed like that sort of was a refocus moment. Let's enjoy this again. And they've just been really good lately, so we're looking forward to this weekend.
Jory Wiff, head coach, James Valley Christian Boys Soccer. The Vikings playing Freeman Academy. It'll be a 12 noon central start from Rapid City for the Class A championship, the first of four champions to be crowned today out in Rapid to wrap up the high school soccer season. We will talk here on Tiger Volleyball next on Dakota Sports. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. We're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Josh Lean. The Tigers, a very good week. They go 2-0, picking up a pair of wins over Sioux Falls schools, one at home and one on the road. On Tuesday night, a sweep of Sioux Falls Roosevelt at the arena, and that was part of Breast Cancer Awareness Night. Then a Thursday, hitting the road to Sioux Falls Jefferson, dropped the first set, but then took control and pretty much blew out Jefferson by the final set to win in four. Talked to Coach Lean after both of those matches. Head coach Josh Lean for the Huron Tigers, starting off with the Sioux Falls Roosevelt win, had great atmosphere with Breast Cancer Awareness Night. A lot of people, a lot of pink, obviously, around the arena, but there was also a volleyball game to be played as well, and the Tigers took care of business. Roosevelt came in with a new system, only two wins on the season, and Huron controlled the first set and then just basically did what they needed to do and went into runs at the end of sets two and three to pick up the sweep. And Coach Lean, after the Roosevelt match, we just talked about the fact that even though Roosevelt had a few runs, never felt like we were really in serious jeopardy.
Yeah, didn't really feel out of it at any point, right? You just kind of stayed calm and knew that the points were going to come. And the reality is that, you know, we were serving aggressive, and they were working hard to just keep the ball in play, and then we would return. You know, when possible, we'd run quick. We would run something tempo to a pin. We'd run somewhere that the scouting report was going to say available or be available. And at the end of the day, they had to swing hard to try to score. And we just lulled them into that. And all of a sudden, they would make an error, right? I can't suggest that. I mean, I think at the end, we made a few big blocks that because they knew they were going to have to be aggressive to score. And I thought, of course, I think it was Arian and Jaylee there at the end of the game that really just kind of built that wall against Olivia, I think, was the outside hitter up at the time, and really just, you know, closed the match out for us. So I was really proud of the girls. You know, a three-set sweep, there's a lot really to unpack there. We won set one with what I would call our regular rotation, and then in set two, we went and knocked the dust off that old two-setter, that 6-2 offense that we've been kind of keeping in our back pocket. And, you know, the reality is I felt like we may need that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, you kind of did it midstream. But, you know, I thought it was a little different, though, too, when we were doing that in the past. I think it was the two young girls coming in for the two seniors.
Yep.
You did switch and put the cousins together in Bischoff and Pesky.
Yeah, and so, you know, I thought that, you know, they've been doing more work in practice together when Reagan and Kyla work kind of some scout team stuff. Kyla hits a lot of good offensive shots. And so I felt like she had the offensive shots. The real test that she's been really working her tail off on is trying to just improve as a blocker, as a pin blocker. And we've worked on her hands, we've worked on her feet, and I thought, you know, she started, and I think she'll wrinkle her nose a little bit and tell you that she started a little bit slow on the blocking side, and then we were able to make a few adjustments, and she was able to really make a difference there. So I thought that was a good. They've been getting reps together, so it was a pretty safe opportunity to go in and make that adjustment. And in real life, those are the two kids that are going to be on the bench when I need that 6-2 in a big match when we're having trouble stopping an outside hitter with Jency. And I'm not going to suggest that we're going to plan on having trouble with Jency, but, you know, the reality is Jency's, you know, she's a little undersized for a net player. All of her blocks come from sheer will, right? I mean, it's just absolute willpower that gets her above the net. I do believe the more times she touches the ball, the more times she does, the better chance we have of being successful. So there's a lot of things as coaches, as our staff, to wicker through there to make sense. But I will tell you, the one thing that our setters did a good job of is keeping our middles involved. I thought Chloe had a good night offensively, even when we brought in two setters, and then all of a sudden she couldn't run that slide as often as she likes to. But I thought our two middles, her and Jaylee, really had good nights.
You mentioned Jaylee Olson, and I did want to talk about her, too. She's a girl really had not played varsity before this year, but as a 6-foot junior, that's the type of girl you definitely want to have on the floor. Availability being at everything, had I kind of been the issue there. I think you challenged her probably last spring and early summer. You need to be around because you have a chance to play. Now we're seeing all the dividends.
Yeah, and really it was to be available. She's always struggling, with ankles and things like that, and middle hitters do, right? Jaylee just seems like she's always got ice on something, and the reality was she made a conscious effort to just take care of her body and be as available as she can and get every drill, and I thought she's been doing that since May, June, and that's really paid dividends for her, and so I'm really proud of the way she was able to be a blocking presence, which isn't new for her, but then hitting the floor and transitioning to be available as an offensive player. I thought I was really proud of her, and so she worked her butt off to be available for her setter, and that just opened her up wide open to hit some barrel shots and even get some ugly shots to hit the floor. That's just the life of a middle blocker, and she did a really good job.
On Thursday, Tigers traveled down to play Sioux Falls Jefferson. Huron dropped the first set, but then took control, especially by midway through the third, then dominated in the fourth set and picked up the four-set win, just their second win over Jefferson since Jefferson opened back in 2021. Coach Lean, after the match Thursday, talked about that win, and like I said, just kind of took control there midway through the third set, and then rolled in the fourth. Nice to get a win and go 2-0 against Sioux Falls schools this week.
Yeah, so we got kids who work their tails off, and they know how to play tired, right? And so you kind of got to light a fire under them once in a while, and I, hopefully, well, you could suggest that maybe I picked the right time in the right place, with some of those kids, and we got good results. I'll tell you that, what you're going to get out of – you're lucky if you can get the scouting report out of Jefferson in set one. Beth Donnelly, again, I said it in pregame, coach I respect dearly. I've known her for, I don't know, quarter of a century now. But we're never going to get the same look twice. If something's not working, she's got her kids trained to make adjustments. And so we did a really good job of making sure we knew who was in front of us, we knew what their capabilities were, and what changes were made from even 10 points prior to that. And I thought our girls did a really nice job making adjustments. We made some real varsity adjustments defensively in serve receive. We hit Ava for a while in serve receive because they were beating her up, which is what the scouting report says to do. And Ava got her light back to green, and she shoved, Addie Knight out of the way and said, "I got it now." And so that was a grow up moment for her, which was really good to see. Our left backs were being moved consistently. Tyann had them moving to a different spot defensively just about every swing, and they did a really nice job just staying in it. And at the end of the day, we talked about it pregame. Jefferson is sitting right above us in seed points, and this was a match that we felt, I don't know if Jefferson felt like we were going to be competitive. It felt like they kind of folded in there at the last half of this thing, but at the end of the day, we felt like we could compete, and I was really proud of our girls for doing that.
And you always say the first line of defense is a strong serve.
Yep.
20-4 is what I had for the ace difference. Yep. Not often you see 16 ace, a 16 ace difference.
Right. And so, and we knew coming in, and we knew in set one, we really didn't give that ace effort or that serving effort what it needed to be. And so the girls really took it to heart, dialed in set two. And listen, that's an impressive stat, right? 16 ace difference. But the reality is, once we found our rhythm, and we kind of knew that we were gonna serve the volleyball at Sabres' shoelaces, and we were gonna try to get her to move forward, and then they were struggling with that, and then the adjustments started happening. The balls they didn't get aced were 15 foot off the net. right? And their setter had one option, and in half the time, their outside hitter couldn't even get a swing on it. So we got free ball after free ball, and we're good enough, we'd like to think, that we're going to terminate that more than we're not. And so I thought our girls did a nice job of accepting that. Now, I did challenge, for the record, I did challenge the two middle blockers because I felt like we got through the first three sets without a whole lot of Jaylee Olson and Chloe Carr offensively. And so we told Jensie, hey, you're doing a great job. You're setting up a really, really good match against a competitive team. Now our middle's got to get involved. And I thought in set four, they were the spark that made the difference. And of course, once we had Jefferson on their heels, there was really no turning back. I think she took her second time out inside of maybe even 10 points. And then after that, we just kept them on roller skates and kept pushing them over. And so really good performance. The offense dealt by Jensie, it was a good decision-making night for her.
You mentioned Jensie Gergen. One thing I did notice as the match went on Thursday, Jensie's become so adept at that quick set, dumping it right into the middle of the opposing team, a defense. I call it a campfire shot a lot of the time. Jefferson did a good job of taking that away. She did have two, but usually there's more than that, but Jensie, your thinking girl out there, she found other ways to serve aggressively. I had her for seven aces, so just find a different way to help the team.
She did find a different way, and I'm proud of her for that as she's grown into that leadership role this year as well. And you know, Jefferson made some adjustments. I know that you guys don't get to see all the scouting reports that we see, but they had their libero just a week ago against Mitchell playing middle back halfway through the match over in Mitchell, well, on Tuesday. And so against us, they moved her to left back because I credit Jensie for them making that move because it's Jensie's quick set. It's her quick attack that they're nervous about. So they took that away. Their middles were getting up on her quick, and Jensie just found other ways. And I'll tell you, as Jensie found that Allie and Addie were going to have a night, right? They were really having trouble timing the block. She just probably did one of the easiest things in volleyball and just kept throwing the ball out there, right, and giving them confidence that they can score and confidence that they can score. And I thought they did a really nice job playing inside themselves. So we gotta go to work next week, Tuesday, home match against Pierre. So we'll be ready for that on Tuesday. But we're going to have to get the girls, you know, iced up, healed up, you know, ice everything that's sore. And they got a little bit of that going on just like everybody else. So good job. Now we got to start looking to Tuesday.
And one last thing, too, and isn't often we've had a 2-0 week against Sioux Falls.
Yeah, well, I'll take that, right? And so, I mean, listen, in this vicinity, in this city, the studs are still studs, right? Harrisburg's still good, and I consider it all metro, right? Brandon Valley's very competitive. O'Gorman's going to win a lot of volleyball matches. But the ones that we can be competitive in, the ones that we can grit our teeth and hang in there, this week I thought our girls did a really, really good job finding ways to get W's.
And one final thought here, too. We do need to go back to Tuesday. Forgot to do that earlier, but Breast Cancer Awareness Night Tuesday. Great crowd. A lot of pink in the gym. Helps when the volleyball, when the team wins, plays well as well. But raise some money with the special pink T-shirts and the silent auction. And, Coach, you were talking just a little bit ago before we started here. What a great atmosphere we presented at the arena on Tuesday.
Okay, so the Breast Cancer Awareness Night, the Rose Ceremony, the online auction, the pink T-shirts all over the place. That alone is awesome. And then you turn the lights down, you get the pink spotlights, you get the welcome to the jungle coming across the Jumbotron over there. What, I mean, I don't know if it gets any better than that in high school sports, I'll tell you. I don't know if it gets better than that in a lot of college venues. That was really, really cool. I looked at the assistant coaches and I thought, man, this is really something special to be a part of. So good luck copying that. The arena staff, everybody that's a part of all of that, just did a spectacular job.
And unofficially, by my count, the silent auction raised $2,355. And, you know, all that money stays local, goes to the HRMC Foundation and the We Got You Covered program. Of course, that's going to rise, too, because the T-shirt sales, everything hasn't been calculated yet. But all the profits from the special pink T-shirts, all that is also turned over to HRMC Foundation for We Got You Covered. We Got You Covered provides mammograms for anyone in the area that would need one. We'll take a break, come back. Dakota Sports Saturday continues on KOKK. Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Welcome back to Dakota Sports Saturday, and we talk Huron Tiger football. Head coach Drew Strand joins us. Last night, Huron on the road and defeats the Mitchell Colonels 27-3 to move to 7-1 on the season. Wasn't always the prettiest football last night, coach, but at the end of the day, we built the early lead, got a big special teams play, and then just basically held the court in the second half.
Yep, I mean, I think it was a little bit of a wake-up call for our own guys of just about the self-discipline and getting after it, you know, the whole game. I think the you know, our guys kind of went out there and kind of overlooked their size and what they could do, and really good wake-up call for our own guys. But, you know, super proud of them for fighting through that and just continuing to move through and really showed, you know, a game of adversity and things and, you know, kind of gave us a little bit motivation, you know, going into that game of, you know, as things happen to kind of tighten things up and really go out and just perform.
You know, and the special teams were a major factor, and it started with the opening kickoff. Mason Juergens returned it to the 50, and that set up eventually our first touchdown, the first two touchdown runs for Landon Hulst. And then, of course, the big play at the end of the first half. And kind of, let's just go right to that, because I just found that interesting when you're giving me kind of the background of that block punt touchdown. Obviously, I think there was, what, 19 seconds left or something like that when they snapped the ball. There was 9 seconds left after the play was over. So it was an all-out try to block, and Landon Hulst, I said Mason Juergens last night, it was Landon Hulst that blocked the punt, then Oakley Anderson with the scoop and score. And I guess the most interesting part to me is Landon Hulst was in a spot he normally isn't, because he's usually back receiving.
Yep, I mean, we're trying to find ways to get guys, you know, in there for blocks and use the guys that we have to be successful, and it's just putting Landon in there kind of closer, you know, to that more of an A gap and kind of having him, you know, be able to run free if he does get free, and being as quick as he is and explosive as he is, it's just another weapon to have that hides kind of in the spot, because everybody thinks you're coming off the edge, and, you know, so just kind of hide him around and get guys to open up to other guys and let him run free in the middle, and that's exactly what happened last night. And so, you know, we've been working on that stuff since week one, and, you know, it's nice to see when that stuff happens, and it wasn't a penalty, and no penalty flags were on the ground, and we ended up, you know, scooping and scoring that, which I thought was huge at that point in the game, you know, for our guys, because, you know, their offense and their defense was kind of, you know, moving the ball and being able to shut us out. So whenever you can get a special team, you know, scoring a big explosive play like that, especially right before half, to kind of, you know, keep the momentum going in your favor is always huge.
And another thing, too, and I just thought of this now, but the one thing this team seems to be able to do this year, a number of our games, I have to go back and look, but we've had the ability to score right at the end of the first half.
Yep, I mean, they come out the first half, you know, I think a lot of our guys are kind of, you know, excited, and they go after it, and they really get going, they hold themselves accountable, and they bring a lot more effort, you know, in the first half. It's just kind of the second half where our guys kind of, you know, become more, you know, less motivated because of the score or things that are happening, or, you know, just got to continue to take a breath, focus on themselves, and just stay disciplined and, you know, line up correctly and do the things we need to do in the second half. But first half, yeah, I would agree with you. There's been a lot of games where, whether it's a pick six or, you know, somewhere on offense where we score quick before half, or, you know, we've been doing it a lot this season, and it's good to see that, to score right as we go into halftime.
You know, second half, thought the offense did get a little stagnant. And, you know, and it seemed like Mitchell was moving the ball, but really they only had the one legitimate drive in the second half. I think they punted about every other possession until the clock ran out. But, you know, the Mitchell got their running game going. I think they had five guys that were consistently carrying the ball. And, you know, that did cause our D some problems. And a lot of it was just some kids were a little slow to take adjustments.
Yep, I mean, had to make some, you know, mid-game adjustments for them to put them in better positions. But, you know, when it comes down to it, it's a lot of guys just keying their keys and doing the things correct. You know, when we have guys that kind of take the wrong step or do the wrong thing, now all of a sudden here's two guys in the same gap. And, you know, we can't have that. We got to have all of our guys, you know, doing the correct things to have the success, you know, when they find themselves in the right spots. And that's the problem when we don't, you know, do our things correct and we kind of go off on our own and jump around in the gaps or move around on coverage or things like that that we're not taught to do. And so, you know, I think last night just kind of will be another wake-up call for the defense of, you know, we're really big on keying our keys and doing what our key says, so that way you're in position to make the play, and that's what they got to do.
You know, and defensively, Oakley Anderson leads us in tackles, and that's what you would expect. But Jeremy Hofer was right there, too, and good for Jeremy. He was filling in, but bad for the Tigers in that, you know, you don't want your free safety having to be your second leading tackler.
Yep, I mean, he came down and made a lot of plays, you know, thankfully. You know, it happened, and most of the time, I think, when I rewatch the film, you know, a lot of the times he's making it within 10 yards, so, I mean, most of the time it's pretty good, but there's a couple where we're chasing down because he got past our second line of defense, and, you know, that's always a problem when you're running, you know, that many guys in the box of just that second line of defense. And then we went in and made an adjustment at halftime and came out the second half with a little bit different adjustment on defense. And then, you know, offensively, I thought we just got to continue to get better. You know, our guys kind of took some plays off or miscommunicated on some of our plays on blocking, whether it's a run or pass. And we just got to have our wide receivers a little more aggressive to get open and the quarterback to be able to trust it.
And overall, though, a win's a win, and that's what we wanted, especially in a rivalry game. Move our record to 7-1 on the season. So you look ahead, Brookings next Thursday to wrap up the regular season. We'll get to that coming up. A kid we do want to mention, too, Ty Kleinsaucer went down with an injury. He was our player of the game because he is just moved in so well in that inside linebacker position next to Oakley. The good news is it does not appear the injury, hopefully, is not too serious.
Yep, sounds like just a sprained ankle. We'll come in on Sunday and reevaluate him and kind of go from there. But hopefully, you know, he's doing the things he needs to do for his team of just resting and getting healthy so they're ready to go. And he's a good big part of our defense. You know, he really does well with Oakley there filling. And, you know, he's just a missile on our kickoff. You know, he kicks the ball and just runs down there. And a lot of times he's not even hitting the guy with the ball. He's hitting the blocker, which then goes into the guy with the ball, which is amazing to see him be able to play with that kind of attitude. And, you know, he kind of brings energy on special teams for all our guys out there on special teams. And so hopefully, you know, it's a quick recovery for him and we can move forward right away.
Again, we're talking with Drew Strand, head football coach here on Tigers. The Tigers, a 27-3 win at Mitchell last night. And that's another thing that's come up. You know, we're in a little different category than what we're used to here. All of a sudden, we got a bit of a target on our back. I think Mitchell showed that last night. The Colonels, you know, what else could they like better than to knock off a high-flying Huron team coming in? We got to be ready for everybody's best shot. And, you know, Brookings is going to be ready to do that next Thursday.
Yep, I mean, you know, we definitely came out, and every team, you know, this part of the season, they seem to get improving and getting better because now they have their identity from the season. And, you know, we started off, you know, I think we kind of turned that corner early on in the season. We figured out our identity, and we stuck to it, you know, and I think last night we kind of got a little over, you know, off of our identity, whether it's coaching-wise of play calls or, you know, our guys out there. So we just got to lock in a little bit and remember who our identity is and kind of continue to move forward. Brookings is going to be no joke. They're going to come after us, and, you know, they've improved a lot from the beginning of the season. And, you know, one thing I've done all season is just work on 1 week at a time and one thing at a time and just press forward like that. And I think if all those guys can understand that and get on that page, I think we'll be all right moving forward.
And we're ranked number one. I believe we're seeded number one as well. I still haven't looked at it. Now I'm just getting superstitious about it. But bottom line, obviously, we will be at home for the first round of the playoffs. Other than that, there's still a lot of movement to be had.
Yep. I mean, AA, you know, there's a lot of teams, you know, that are moving around each week, you know, with whatever the score may be and however it lays out, you know. So we look at it as, you know, where do we want to be at the end of each Friday? And our goal is to work for that, you know, during the week. And so, you know, it's nice to be up here, but you also put a target on yourself, and then you got a lot of people that still kind of, you know, are wondering if those wins at the beginning of their season are real wins for us or just, you know, mishaps by other teams. And, you know, these guys have showed it and been the most consistent all season long, and they deserve where they're at. And so hopefully, you know, they can kind of know and understand that. But, you know, nobody's going to give it to you. Once you're there, you got to earn it, you know, and it's even harder to stay there once you find yourself up there. So hopefully, you know, our guys can just hold true to that and come out as a number one team and look clean, you know, coming into the last season and then really take that into playoffs.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. The Tigers now at 7-1. They're ranked number one in 11AA. Wrap up the regular season next Thursday. Again, make a note, all high school football is next Thursday, be it playoffs or the end of the regular season. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff from Brookings next Thursday night on Tiger. Up next is Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.